It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
Welcome to the official podcast of the Milwaukee Brewers. This is Brewers on Tap.
Here's the pitch. A curveball!
It's time to tap the keg with Lane Grindle.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to episode number 192 of Brewers on Tap. It is great to have you with us for another edition of the podcast as we come to you on the weekend here in the Valley of the Sun. Cactus League play very much underway, almost at the halfway point now, 7-5 so far for the Crew in Cactus League play. They get after it again this afternoon against the Texas Rangers, and this afternoon is the debut in a Brewers uniform for Jackie Bradley Jr. We'll have a little bit more on that signing coming up in just a few minutes. Here's what we have for you on the podcast today. We're going to talk to Brewers left-handed prospect Aaron Ashby. He is getting a lot of attention so far in camp, and rightfully so. He's actually going to be on the mound later today. He's going to get an inning for the Crew against the Rangers in this Cactus League game, and he has drawn some attention because Aaron Ashby did not get included with all the minor leaguers that got sent back over to minor league camp. A handful of prospects were reassigned on Friday. Aaron Ashby's name, not one of them. Doesn't mean it won't happen at some point this camp, but it certainly gives you an idea of just how much he's opened the Brewers' eyes, not just this spring, but also with his performance during fall instructional league. You're going to hear a little bit more about him throughout the entire podcast, but we're going to talk to him about what this spring training has been like for him so far. Also, Brewers farm director Tom Flanagan's going to stop by, and we're going to talk to Tom about the challenges of last year without true minor league seasons, running the alternate site, and then, of course, the changes this year to minor league baseball. Some of the rule changes we won't talk about because those came out after I already talked to Tom. So we won't be able to go back and talk to him about some of the rule changes that are being proposed in minor league baseball. But we will talk to him about the later start to the season and about some of the names within this organization that are catching his eye. Should be a lot of fun to talk to Tom Flanagan as well. In fact, I know it'll be fun to talk to Tom Flanagan because I already did it. And then you're going to get a chance to listen to it. All right, Jackie Bradley Jr., he's the newest Brewer. We told you about this signing last week when it was being reported. It's now official. He's going to be in a Brewers uniform leading off on Saturday against the Rangers. This is a big move for the Crew. This is one of the premier defensive players in all of baseball, certainly one of the premier outfielders defensively in all of baseball. And now you've added Colton Wong, Jackie Bradley Jr. You basically add Lorenzo Cain, too, after he opted out of last season. And this is three. These are three of the premier defenders at their positions now as a part of this team. I know the pitchers are excited about this development. Certainly they should be. Big move for the defense. But you know what? It's a big move for the offense, too. Jackie Bradley Jr., very productive offensive player over the course of his career, and a left-handed bat. And don't let that get lost on you. We have seen many left-handed hitters come to American Family Field in Milwaukee and see their numbers increase because the ball flies out to right. If you have a little power in that bat, and Jackie Bradley Jr. certainly does, you typically see those power numbers increase. Ask Christian Yelich about that. Ask Travis Shaw about that in 2017 and, of course, in 2018. It's a great place to hit if you're a left-handed hitter. And so Jackie Bradley Jr., I think maybe could have one of his better offensive years. If he is able, you know, Craig Counsell's going to try to manage this so all these guys get regular at-bats. And he had this same issue in 2018, and it worked out. It kind of worked itself out, but it worked out in the sense that the Brewers were great. Yelich wins the MVP, and the Brewers go to the 2018 NLCS. All in all, pretty good. I think they would take that again here in 2021. But you get him regular at-bats, I think you're going to see him have one of his better offensive years as a Major League Baseball player. So it's an exciting signing. Another big clubhouse guy that's going to bring a great presence. You already had added another one in Colton Wong. This is going to be a really strong culture that the Brewers once again roll out in 2021. That's been a theme in the Craig Council and David Stearns era, that's for sure. Okay, let's jump into it. I had a chance to sit down with Aaron Ashby. What an exciting young man, and he has a chance to be a really good one for the Brewers before it's all said and done. Brewers left-hander Aaron Ashby is our guest here on Brewers on Tap. And Aaron, you have generated some buzz over the course of camp this spring with your performances in Cactus League play. What have these performances done for you just in terms of confidence? Because you're facing a lot of big league hitters in this camp, and you've been able to do it with pretty good success rate. How has that kind of proven to you that you belong at this level?
Yeah, you know, it's been a lot of fun so far. I've had a lot of fun being with the guys and everything. And as far as confidence goes, it definitely helps, you know, to go out there and be successful. You can't, you know, it's kind of a roller coaster. You can't get too far up. You can't get too far down. You got to kind of stay even keel. So that's something I try to do as much as I can and stay going down that line, and you know, not getting too overly confident, but also, you know, when things go bad, because eventually, you know, they probably will in this game, but you know, not getting too down on yourself. So it's just all about keeping it even.
Aaron, you were able to be a part of the alternate site last year. Okay. And I think for most guys in the minor leagues, last year was really hard. You didn't have games. For some guys, it might have been a totally lost year. Being able to go to the alternate site salvaged quite a bit out of what otherwise would have been a lost year for you. And again, for guys like you making your way up through the system, you got a chance, kind of like this spring, to see guys from a higher level and challenge your stuff. So there actually might have been some positive upside to what you went through last year in terms of being at the alternate site versus maybe pitching in Double A, which certainly would have been a challenge and probably still would have been the preferred option. But there was some silver linings, weren't there, from being at the alternate site?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when I got up there, I was throwing, got back in the routine of things for like a week and a half or two. And then I threw in my first game. And, of course, we're facing our, you know, our alternate site guys who are, you know, really, really good hitters. And I get in there and I think I threw 21 pitches was my pitch limit. And I threw 19 balls just because I was so amped up. That was the first time I had thrown in the game in over like a year. I think it was like coming up on a year since I had thrown in a baseball game. So I was like amped up. Adrenaline was going. I couldn't feel my arm. I felt great, like incredible. I come to the dugout. Like, how'd you feel? I was like, I've never felt any better in my life. And I just threw 19 balls out of 21 pitches. So the alternate site was really cool, though. You know, my next outing out, kind of settled down, got back in the groove of things. And, you know, what was successful during that last outing. And then I didn't have another one after that until Instructs. And Instructs went really well. I learned a lot about kind of who I was as a pitcher. Really got the sinker dialed in, and just all around confidence builder there, and just gonna try to keep riding that wave.
A lot of people like to watch you pitch because you will mess with guys' timing, and the Brewers have a couple of left-handers in the organization right now that will do that. Ethan Small, of course, does that too. Have you two ever exchanged notes or had some fun with the fact that you can kind of disrupt timing with the way you bring home your pitch from a delivery standpoint?
Yeah, absolutely. So Ethan's actually my catch partner. So we work on this pretty much every single day, coming up with new ideas. You know, there's no really right or I guess there's a wrong way to do it, but it's not, you know, common. So it's not like, okay, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that. There's certain things that are boxed, of course, but you know, it's kind of just throwing ideas off each other. Like, what if we mess with like a slide step hesitation, brought it up? Just all like crazy stuff that you're probably not going to do in a game, but it's still good to do, you know, for the whole balance and timing for yourself and making, you know, forcing your arm to be on time in any position. So, yeah, it's been great to have Ethan as a catch partner.
getting to pitch in big league spring training games also means that you get on the radar of social media, and pitching ninja Rob Friedman has tweeted some of your stuff out. That's like a bucket list thing for every pitcher right now, right?
No
to doubt. To be pushed out on the Pitching Ninja Twitter site. And you've been able to do that. That's like, check that off now, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's been a goal of mine since college. So that account came out in college, and it took like a new perspective on pitching. Like, you know, it's always been, you know, about the hitters and hitting home runs and everything. And it's kind of cool to see someone have like, you know, all these different ways of showing how pitches move, what guys are doing with their front side, you know, leg lock and hips and everything. So I actually learned a lot from that account. So to be featured on it was really, really cool.
Now, I was going to say, I mean, everybody kind of pitching and baseball is just like everything else. Everybody can borrow from each other. And, you know, there's some creativity that somebody else has. You go, hey, I could try that. And that's kind of almost sped that up a little bit, right? Everybody has access to everybody's stuff. And now you can kind of say, well, that works for him. Maybe that would work into my profile as well.
Yeah, that's actually, it's funny you mentioned that. I actually was struggling with a changeup in college. I just could never throw a changeup. And Rob Friedman had a video on how Max Scherzer grips his changeup. I was like, you know what? I'm up for anything. So I tried it, and now – that's been my changeup for the past three and a half, four years almost. So pretty cool.
That's really cool. That's pretty amazing, actually. Yeah. You talked a little bit about your own experience with COVID last summer. And, you know, it was a challenge to kind of get yourself back to feeling good. But then you were able to get to the alternate site and be out there as well. What was that experience like? You don't have to go through everything, but just – in terms of getting yourself back to feeling normal on the mound again, how big of a challenge was that?
Yeah. So, you know, at first I would notice like throwing, just run out of breath quick. I'd be like, dang, like, am I working that hard right now? Like I do this every day for a living, and now it's suddenly, tiring and stuff like that. And catch play has always been like something for a release for me. I love playing catch. So to be like tired and like worn out after catch was frustrating. And I was like, dang, I got to get back to where I'm at or where I was at. So it took a little bit, but, you know, playing catch every day for 2-3 weeks was, you know, kind of got me back into things. So, it wasn't that big of a deal on the baseball side as far as like, as it was on, you know, running. When I run, I have low shortness breath. But, I feel pretty good right now with where I'm at. Luckily I didn't have, you know, some of the more severe symptoms that people have. So I'm, you know, very fortunate.
And everything tastes like a chicken sandwich now.
And everything tastes like a chicken sandwich. That's definitely the weirdest part. Like, even in driving in my truck, I'll be getting on the highway, you know, getting up to speed, the engine gets hot or whatever. And it smells like peanut butter every morning when I get on the 101. I'm just like, this is the weirdest thing in the world. I hate it.
That's wild. That's really crazy. Hey, last question for you, because I think this is going to be interesting to follow over the course of the next month to 2 months, is placement this year for prospects and guys in the minor leagues. What are your expectations? Not having the year last year, and I think the expectation would have been that you would have been in AA probably last season. Now you've had another year of development, but it wasn't traditional development. What are the expectations this year, not just for you, but for other guys, on where you start out your minor league seasons?
Yeah, you know, I'm not really sure. Right now, I think it's kind of everyone should want to, you know, play in the big leagues, of course. But, it's going to be at the, you know, whatever front office guys decide and, whatever they think is best for the team. So we'll see, you know, you hope for the best and do everything you can to try to make that decision easy for them and then go from there. But, hopefully everything goes well this season and we can get some new guys up to the big leagues.
And you know what, Aaron, to that point, last year was one of those unique years where you saw a lot of guys that had not pitched above high A make their debuts last year. You know, you look at a Justin Topa as a guy that, you know, maybe not the high A part of it, but a guy that wasn't on the radar and then pitched well and worked himself into a major role for the Brewers before the end of the season. So, I mean, that's certainly, I mean, I would think your debut is what your goal is for this year.
Absolutely. Without a doubt.
Well, it should be a lot of fun to watch it all unfold. You've been really impressive so far in camp, and it's been great to get a chance to watch you.
Thank you, Lane. I appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you. Aaron Ashby with us here on Brewers on Tap. And my thanks to Aaron Ashby for taking some time and sharing some of his experiences with us over the course of this camp. It's been quite a rise that he's had. The nephew of former big leaguer Andy Ashby, so he knows what it's going to take to get to the big leagues and stick. And I like the confidence from him, too. He clearly believes he can make this team. And we've heard Craig Counsell say over the last couple of days, this is a guy that has performed well. And you can write what you want about that, essentially not ruling anything out when it comes to Aaron Ashby in 2021. Really good stuff. Well, somebody that's had their eyes on Aaron Ashby for a long time has been Brewers farm director Tom Flanagan. And I had a chance to sit down with him and talk to him about all the challenges of last year. And even though there weren't true minor league seasons, maybe there was some silver lining in that they were able to get things done at that alternate site last summer.
Let's break it down.
Absolutely. I think, as you mentioned, it's been a challenge on so many people, and the baseball component of it was just a fraction of it. But I think the one thing we've learned by far the most was how much more we can do remotely with our players and how much we can set up, you know, competitive environments from afar for those guys to keep challenging them. You know, it's difficult to work out in isolation at times, but we've learned a lot to improve our methods in terms of working with guys when they are away, whether it be in future off seasons, hopefully, or not a pandemic for certain, but I think it'll bode well for our staff moving forward. They've done a great job in this environment, as have our players. So looking forward to putting these things to use under better circumstances in the future.
We were talking about this on one of our broadcasts earlier this week. When you look at a guy like Bryce Terang, spent last year at the alternate facility, the alternate site, and here's somebody that really hadn't been above high A at any point in his career, and in a much different situation than a normal game setting, he was able to see a lot of triple A level pitching, some major league level pitching. What do you think he got out of that compared to what a normal year, maybe in double A or high A last year, would have been for him? How different do you think? I mean, obviously they're not apples to apples at all. But what were some of the positives he might have been able to get out of that?
Yeah, I think, and just to cut to the chase, I think the net result was a big-time positive, especially for a guy like Bryce. But I think mentally was the biggest challenge, because these guys, you know, baseball people are creatures of habit, used to having a routine. Well, it took a while to establish a routine that was productive in this alternate site environment, where facing the same Brewer uniform every day and repeated at bats against some tough arms, especially for Bryce. And I had a conversation with him when I was up there, I remember toward the end last year, and there was always a sense of not so much frustration, but just kind of that grind mentality. And I just phrased it to him like, hey, where else could you face, you know, three at bats a night against, you know, you got Ashby, then the next night you got Antoine Kelly, and then you got a guy that just was in the big leagues the day before came down and you're facing him. So I think then it clicked with a lot of these guys, where it's like, boy, in a minor league season, it's tremendous value. But at the same time, we tried to replicate as best we could, you know, competitive at bats and really challenge these guys. So I think just as it worked out last year with all the left-handed pitchers, the quality pitching he faced in general, I think it went a long way toward really pushing him along and salvaging what otherwise could have been a real disaster of a season, and turned out pretty positive for him.
Tom, you mentioned something that I wanted to talk to you about, and that's all the left-handed pitching in this organization right now at the minor league level. And we've seen a couple of them over the course of Cactus League play already, and Ethan Small and Aaron Ashby, really exciting guys. I think Ashby's got a chance to be really special. But then you mentioned another one that I think everybody's really excited about, and that's Antoine Kelly, big-time arm, all three left-handers. you've been able to really do a nice job of developing homegrown talent on the mound. Over the last 4 or 5 years, the Brewers have been about as good as anybody in baseball at doing that. What have been some of the keys to it, in your opinion?
I think it's a multi, you know, you can thank a number of people, but I think number one starts with the acquisition phase or the scouts bringing guys in that are just quality, you know, candidates with upside that the staff loves to work with. They're eager to learn, eager to get better. And the lefties in particular, you mentioned somewhat varied backgrounds from all of them. You got a polished SEC pitcher, you got a junior college, a couple junior college left-handers with different backgrounds. And really you can take turns talking about each of the three, and the ceiling may be higher on the next that you talk about, depending what order you go. They're all really outstanding arms. But I think the scouts have done a great job identifying upside plays, you know, at different points in the draft, you know, early rounds, mid rounds, what have you. And then on the development side, I think our pitching coordinator, Cam Castro, and our pitching coaches right up the line. And we always talk about this at all times. It's not so much the advancement of the coaches to different levels. They each contribute along the way. So it could be something that, you know, 2 weeks in rookie ball with our pitching coach kind of laid a foundation in that amount of time where he can roll that ahead to the next level he goes to and so on. So I think we've focused on the right areas with all these guys in terms of maxing their arsenals and helping them develop additional arm strength and things of that nature. And then as they move up the line, just kind of polishing it further and hopefully maximizing their impact that they'll have in the big leagues.
Tom, who are some of the underrated guys right now in the organization? And I know you could go on and on probably with a lot of guys that you like, but I mean, we talk about a lot of these headliners. We're talking about Garrett Mitchell a lot, Bryce Terang a lot, the guys that were picked high that I think everybody knows about, but there are some other guys that I think don't get the run maybe they deserve. Some of them are still considered big prospects for the Brewers. Like, I love Mario Feliciano. I think he's got a really bright future with the Brewers, and he doesn't maybe get the national love that some of the other guys get. Hedbert Perez is a younger guy that a lot of people are very intrigued by. Who are some of the names that if you were me or if you were somebody listening, you would be paying close attention to in the Brewers organization?
Sure. There's a number of them right now. And I think the year off only got us more excited to see these guys back on the field. But I know one that's kind of under our purview right now, Mike Abello, an outfielder from Hawaii. I think he was 2018 third round pick. He had really, you know, obviously missed last season, came to our instructional camp and really turned some heads, you know, just whether it was a time away, a little bit more strength that he showed in camp, but good center fielder candidate, swung the bat extremely well. And he's kind of picked up where he's left off in our early camp, you know, just showing those same attributes. So he's a guy to keep in mind. And then another pitcher that we signed out of Mexico, Castaneda, a right-hander, probably would be in that double A, you know, high A mix this year, but really good arm, went to the fall league in 2019, I guess the last year we had the fall league, and has a split finger and really kind of is more of a sleeper type, maybe from people who follow our system, but he's another guy to keep an eye on. He's not in early camp. He'll be here whenever we start minor league camp, but another name to keep in mind. But there, as you mentioned, there's a number of guys that I'm skipping over that we're excited to get them back in the fold and see what they can do in 2021.
Can't always list them all. There's a lot of guys in the organization, and there's a lot of guys with really high upside. Brewers have done a good job of drafting and acquiring in that way over the last handful of years. Tom, Sarah Goodrum is now the minor league hitting coordinator. I had a chance to talk to her a couple of weeks ago. Very impressive, extremely humble, and just excited to get to work. And I know she's been enjoying herself so far this spring, getting a chance to get to work. And she really got a good opportunity to work around a lot of the guys in fall instructs as well. So she's definitely been able to hit the ground running. How excited are you to work with her, and what has she brought to the table already?
Very excited. I think she's been around for a number of years already, more focused on our ISP department and so forth. But at the same time, she's kind of been around our hitters more than our pitchers. And now clearly in this role, she's going to be doing, you know, heavily immersed in that area. And it's exciting to hear a new perspective always.
Right.
But I think the best thing that you can say about Sarah is she's ears open to our players, very good on cues as to what information they're looking for to help, you know, provide feedback, and very sound in her thoughts in terms of what she wants to do to move our hitting apparatus forward. So I think our coaches are excited to work with her. Players are excited, and, you know, it's good to have her around right now in big league camp, you know, taking what she's picking up over there, bringing it back to our minor league side, and hopefully our hitters will be the ones that benefit in the years to come.
Tom Flanagan, Brewers Farm Director, our guest here on Brewers on Tap. Tom, maybe the biggest acquisition you made all offseason was going back to Nashville for the AAA home of the Brewers. This is a big deal. It's the best situation you've had since you were last in Nashville. All respect given to Colorado Springs and San Antonio, but the facilities and environment just don't match what you're going to have now, and you're going to have stability with it. That has to be the most exciting part, right? That it's a 10-year player development contract. You're going to be able to put guys in Nashville for the extended future, and there's a direct flight, which is certainly not a bad thing either for AAA to and from Milwaukee. This is just a huge win, I think, for the Brewers organization.
Yeah, you're right. You summed it up really well. There's so many different data points where it's superior to where we've been. And again, no fault of the system, but when you can get players in for major league moves quicker with a direct flight, as you mentioned, that's huge. The stability piece is big, just because you know you got a top-notch facility to work with this year and for the years to come. And then a bonus is a lot of the staff with the Sounds in their front office is the same as when we were there before. So they're quality individuals. We frankly wish, you know, we never left, but at the same time, at this point, we're just excited to get back there. We've had early conversations with them on a number of topics, and it's just going to set up really well. I think it can be a great partnership for the Brewers for years to come. And as you mentioned, just having it geographically much more suitable between Nashville and Milwaukee, I think it'll be a win-win for both parties.
Tom, last question for you. When you look at this spring training and then actual minor league season not starting till early May, you got guys that are in early camp. How will you manage those guys between camp breaking at the end of March and their season's beginning? Will you back off them a little bit for a small amount of time before you get them ramped back up for their season? Or will you just kind of keep them going with inter-squad games here? And, of course, minor league camp will open up shortly thereafter. What's kind of the plan with the guys that have been in early camp as you get them ready for their actual seasons?
No, that's a great question. That's something we're still kicking around now. I think the way it's going to shape up for us is we're going to try and work a balance where we don't want those guys to be subjected to kind of that early monotony of camp where the drill work that they've already been through for a few weeks has been done. They're game ready. So we're going to back them off more of the day-to-day work and focus them on basically B games or other games we'll set up with other organizations. Each organization is kind of in a similar boat once a big league camp ends. So we'll keep the pitchers throwing, keep building them up per their plan to where we want to see them innings wise at the start of the year. And then position players, it'll probably be enough game at bats to keep them sharp, but at the same time, give them a little breather so that when the minor league games begin in early to mid April, we can transition those guys seamlessly into those games. So they'll probably be a little bit ahead of everybody at the start, which will be good. But at the same time, we don't want to wear them out because it's going to be a long season, especially coming off of 2020.
Well, Tom, we appreciate it. Thank you so much for the time. As always, I'm sure we'll be catching up with you from time to time over the course of the season. Enjoy yourself.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot, Lane. Appreciate it.
My thanks to Tom Flanagan for joining me this week on Brewers on Tap. Well, just a quick reminder before we say goodbye, Brewers have announced that single-game tickets will go on sale starting on March 26th. Those single-game tickets will be on sale for games that go through May the 2nd. How about that? First time in 18 months, we're going to have fans back at American Family Field in Milwaukee. Can't wait for it. There will be a small number of opening day tickets available for purchase when those single game tickets go on sale. That inventory is expected to be exhausted quite quickly. So, of course, if you can get your hands on that, great, but there's going to be a bunch of other great games that you can try to get your hands on through May the 2nd. Tickets available for purchase starting at 10 a.m. at Brewers.com on March 26th or 1-800-933-7890. Again, 1-800-933-7890. That's going to do it for us in this week's edition of Brewers on Tap, another spring training edition coming your way next week. Until then, be safe, everybody. I'm Lane Grindle.